Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. Why are you laughing at me?
Your voice broke like a prepubescent teenager. Carry on.
Why then did it weird? Coming up on today's show, the Ring General Volta joins us. We spoke to him backstage at Progress Chapter 75 ahead of their huge show at Wembley next month. We're also going to talk about the latest WWE TV product, what I was doing while I was off in Japan, some Hell in the Cell stuff, some Fight Club stuff, loads to get to. Oh yeah, and we're going to preview All In. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. You see, normally I'd be like, that was terrible.
Nah.
Let me do it again.
Nah.
But do you know what? I'm not going to.
It made it sound like you were in Japan doing some Hell in a Cell stuff, like you've been training, like you're going to do a run-in.
Yeah, you trust. I'm going to do a run-in on Randy Orton against Jeff Hardy, which for some reason is a Hell in a Cell match.
No one cares. It's just an excuse for Jeff Hardy to batter himself even more.
Well, they only do two Hell in a Cell matches, right?
Right.
So why is it not Joe Styles, Charlotte Becky?
Exactly. Becky and Hell in a Cell would be amazing.
That is what is obviously... Those are obviously the matches they should be doing in there. And it's ridiculous they're not, and I'm annoyed about it. But we will get to that as the show goes on. Volta, the Ring General, Big Daddy Volta. He's the Progress...
Is he called Big Daddy Volta?
That's what he was first called. That was his first name. He's the Progress Champion. He's the PWG Champion. He's
Chris
the OTT
Barter.
Champion. He's the Defiant Internet Champion. He's the former three-time West Side Extreme Wrestling Champion. He's an absolute monster, and we had a great chat with him backstage at Progress, didn't we?
And a very nice man.
Oh, what a delight.
Very German. Remember, before his interview...
Well, he's Austrian, but...
Yeah, that is very true. Very Germanic?
Yeah, that'll do.
Before his interview, someone was like, Walter, have you got time for the interview now? 5 minutes, please. And just very, very polite and very precise.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd have just gone, I'm sorry, like a Brit. I need the toilet and I need some water. So yeah, I like that.
So coming up, we're going to be talking about, you were at the WWE House Show this week.
I was.
We're going to talk about Progress Chapter 75, which we're at. We'll give a spoiler alert before we talk about that. It'll probably be just after the Walter interview, which there is a minor spoiler, which actually...
Yeah. Oh, that's tricky, isn't it?
It's quite a major spoiler.
No, it's not. No, because we know that's happening now.
Yeah, but it's not been on. It's not been on the on demand yet.
Oh, yeah.
I will warn you when that's coming.
Yeah, this is your pre-warning.
It for like in 40 minutes' time when you need to really worry
that's
about
it,
or half an hour, however long we're going to ramble on about today. And yeah, we'll also talk about the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500. Well, the top 10 is out at the moment. The top 500 will be available if you subscribe and you're part of their service, and it will then eventually be leaked on, you know, Fight Database or Reddit or wherever. So yeah, all that's come.
First of all, we're going to talk about where you've been this week.
It
will feature in a later show.
Yeah. So after going to Japan and having a whale of a time in Japan, I bought you a present. And I didn't bring it.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to bring it with me, so I'll have to give it to you at some other point. So I got you a present.
Thank you.
From the New Japan store. I might as well tell you where it's from. I also bought myself a Bullet Club fan.
We speculated, me and Sam, that you'd buy a Kenny Omega condom. So that's close.
I bought some key rings. I very nearly bought a New Japan Pro Wrestling proper Zippo lighter, like the properly officially branded ones. And then I figured out the exchange rate and figured out it was £230. Everything else in the store was really reasonable.
Yeah.
But that was really expensive for some reason. I don't really understand why.
Maybe it was gold plated.
And I went and took a photo outside of Sakajo Hall and outside the Enormo Dome in the centre of Japan.
We kind of speculated that you were just going to places that looked like wrestling places and just taking photos just so it looked like you were... Because no one would know any different, would they? So...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But then you got home and then you...
Was whisked off to New York, went with 2K Games for the launch of NBA 2K19, or the pre-launch. The game comes out this Friday. Well, the prelude comes out this Friday.
The prelude is out now.
What?
Yeah, 31st of August, mate.
Oh, I had it in my head that it was next Friday.
No, the game comes out next Friday.
Ah, there you go.
Or 2 weeks' time.
No, the game comes out on the 10th.
Right.
The pre-release comes out on the 7th. The prelude is out today.
Prelude's out now.
There you go.
It looks a lot... I played it earlier. I lost 130, so...
Wow.
Never played it before. I think to get 30 points is pretty good.
Well done, mate.
I just ran at the middle of James Harden just doing three-pointers all the way.
So, yeah, I went to New York and I was at the launch event. It was all really good fun. And I hung out with Mark Henry.
This is... We've got to bring it back to wrestling. Will just sent me a picture of him and Sexual Chocolate just hanging out in a bar.
It was... honestly, he's an absolute delight. I hung out with Mark Henry a bit. Didn't do an official interview with him because he was there working himself for his radio show on Sirius XM. But did have a little chat on camera.
So gutted.
With not just Noel Foley, the delightful Noel Foley.
Yeah.
But Kathy Kelly as well.
Oh, breaking my heart.
It was glorious. They were both absolutely delightful. We'd all had a skinful. It was the hottest warehouse in the history of time.
Yeah.
It'd been like 36, 37 degrees in the day, and then the air conditioning just didn't work in this place. Travis Scott played later. It was an absolutely ridiculous event. Really good fun. But yeah, we'll bring that to you on a later show. We've got Volta for you today.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was really good fun. There you go.
There you go. Well, that's where Will's been.
I'm done bragging now.
I'm so jealous of Kathy Kelly. I think she's a great interviewer.
Just so, very quickly, some takeaways from when I was away, because there's no point in raking over old ground now. SummerSlam, much better than expected.
Yeah.
NXT TakeOver, brilliant as always.
Uh-huh.
G1 Climax, which you didn't talk about on the show.
It's because neither of us were watching it, because like, we've been working, Will, while you've been sat in airports or on planes.
Yeah, well, I did watch
all the wrestling, mate.
On my iPad while travelling through airports.
What you did. When you were in Japan, you were sending me updates of how quickly you were downloading stuff to try and watch on the plane. And you thought internet in Japan was good, and it wasn't.
Even if you're not going to go back and watch loads of it, if you have got a New Japan subscription, just go back and watch the final matches from the final matches from the last two nights, particularly Ibushi against Kenny Omega, which was unbelievable, and then go and watch the final as well, which I actually thought that a lot of people rated the final between Tanahashi and Ibushi higher than the Omega Ibushi match. I thought the storytelling and the match itself was better in the Block B finale, but Tanahashi and Ibushi still put on an amazing match. It was still like a 4.75 to the 5-star match that had been on the night before. Those were just my very quick takeaways. We don't need to rake over that old ground.
That's all right. It's good. We kind of left TakeOver because we thought you'd want to talk about it, but then obviously you then went to New York. So
yeah, this show should have been out 4 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, just been so busy.
We are, just to let you know, for going forward, so me and John have been talking about this.
Yeah.
We've not been the most organised of people.
The trouble is though, I've changed jobs. Like, let's be really honest. I've changed jobs and stuff, so I've been really busy.
I've been away and
that
stuff.
That ends on Sunday. Yeah, you've been on holiday and doing loads of stuff. We're going to get better, and we're going to pick a day to release the show, right?
Now we're into the NFL season. My life is a lot more structured for at least the next 4 months. You've got a new job, so your life is a lot more structured. We're going to pick a day. It's going to come out on that day, and we're going to launch a YouTube channel, which is going to have all the interviews we've done on video so far. So Zach Gibson, Volta, the full interview of
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. We'll put some clips up there. We'll put the full videos up. And we'll do some like news reaction and stuff on there as well. So we are going to be much better, we promise.
We might even buy a green screen, but that is in negotiations right now.
I mean, do you have to buy a green screen? Should you just get a sheet and put it up in your house?
Yeah, well, you'll put a green sheet.
It's unofficially a green screen. But
yeah, we're just going to get better.
Yeah.
We were meant to go to the NXT tapings over the weekend. Again, like, we flaked on that because Will got back really late from Japan, had some travel issues, and then I couldn't get...
We're going to be better.
We're just sorry. We're really sorry. Anyway.
So Volta coming up, Progress coming up, WWE House Show. Talk to me, John.
WWE House Show, weird one, as you might have spotted yourself. Like, why are they doing a random Wednesday when they haven't done SmackDown and Raw the night before? Turns out they're on the way to Japan to do a promotional tour. I imagine the people from SmackDown that are big in Japan, like Gallows and Anderson and AJ Styles, Shinsuke, I guess they just went straight from SmackDown. So it meant the Raw roster had an extra day to get there. So presumably they have to fly via London. So I'm assuming they just did a show that night because the O2 was like 85% full. So it pays for it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you see it. You do see it a lot when they're doing their travelling around that they do stop-offs. And actually, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn spoke to us about this on one of our very first shows about how that actually works and how they kind of will. You know, if you're doing something in Dubai, why don't you go via Hamburg and do something there? Because that's where the flight would stop off anyway. Yeah. So you know, the WWE, if nothing else, is very good at maximising money-making opportunities.
Absolutely. And the thing is, there wasn't really much... We didn't get a chance to speak to anyone there, which
Ronda Rousey UK debut, though.
Yeah, so that was good. You know what? I'd have thought they'd made more fanfare about it. Like, they did in the promotional material, but that was, like, the second match in the second half, and the second half of it was only, like, three matches. It was it was obviously Roman Reigns was the headline match against Braun Strowman, and then at the end, the Shield came out. But before that, yeah, Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey. You'd think that, like, JoJo would really big it up, but before, and then it didn't. Just Alexa Bliss's music came out, and she came out, and then Ronda Rousey came out, and it's like, oh, considering this is her UK debut, you'd have thought they'd really played a package, like something. I don't know, they didn't.
It's the classic live event thing of putting on the what's going to be at the next pay per view to keep those two people in the ring together, same as like the standard dark matches.
Yeah,
you seem to get less and less of those at Raws and SmackDowns nowadays.
I guess it's because they're cramming in all these extra shows. Obviously, SmackDown you get 205 Live, and they still do a dark match after 205 Live to make everyone stay for 205 Live, even though it's a much better product now. Anyway, it was actually an entertaining match. It wasn't overly long. There wasn't a lot. Ronda Rousey won. You'd be surprised to know. I mean, not really ruining anything there. Alexa Bliss did do one of the best injury sells I've seen. So she faked an injury in the corner, and the referee obviously tended to her, and you're like, yeah, this is a work. And then he called in a second referee, and they were making sure she was all right. And Ronda was pretending to look upset, like she'd actually hurt her. And then Mike Rome came up from the, you know, from the announcers bit, and he was there. And he was like, oh, hang on a minute, like he doesn't normally get up and do that. And like,
right.
they were helping her out of the ring. And for a minute, like I thought, and obviously I'm the most cynical person, so I'm like, no, this is part of the thing. Like, for a minute there, I thought, oh, hang on, maybe she is actually injured. And they're like, hang on a minute. Because I think they brought quite a threadbare roster over. If we need Ronda to fight someone, I was thinking they were just buying time. And then it was all massive sell. You know, obviously Ronda was looking upset, looked away, and then Alexa jumped up and smacked her on the back of the head. And, like, it was all part of it. And actually, I thought that was done really well. Because it even made the most cynical person there, me, think that it was real.
And you are cynical.
I'm so cynical. The thing that got me about this show, and, like, as I say, like, Kevin Owens wasn't there. It's quite a threadbare. They had a Cruiserweight Championship match, which was actually good, but it wasn't Jack Gallagher, which would have been nice. And, you know, it started off with Bobby Roode coming out, who actually got a really good response, and he went up against Jinder Mahal.
And then Jinder Mahal fought twice, didn't he?
Yeah, so then Jinder Mahal lost to Bobby Roode. So then Bobby Roode went out, and Jinder Mahal then lost it in the ring and said, no, this isn't how my night's going to end. I want another opponent. And then Bray Wyatt comes out. And it was like, oh, this is good. And it was really nice to note that Bray Wyatt is wearing his Bray Wyatt stuff, not kind of like the apron stuff that he's been wearing with Matt Hardy, which I think signifies that's completely done. And
I think they've missed a real opportunity there.
What?
To reset the Bray Wyatt character from something which had died after, I mean, pretty much since John Cena wouldn't put him over way back at, what was that, Mania 31 now? But really, it's that character is should be done with. Mm. And they had the perfect opportunity with all the stuff with Matt Hardy, and they essentially didn't change him that much, and now he's just going to go back to who he was.
Well, unless they change it on TV, and they were just kind of reverting back to this for that. And I mean, the kids loved it. I felt that this show was really aimed at kids, I'll be honest. So he came out purely so he could come out and people could go nuts. And he went into the ring, and basically Jinder, I can't remember if it was a power, but basically Jinder floored him, and then Jinder's music hit and he rolled out the ring and left. And I'm like, but I thought you wanted to win a match to, and then it was just like, I don't get it really. I think purely, it just seemed like Bray Wyatt had come out for the sake of, oh yeah, Bray Wyatt, maybe some more people will buy t-shirts if he comes out, like, legitimately. It was
weird.
Very strange. Other than that, there were some good matches, and obviously the highlight was the Shield, but It was kind of weird because...
You're just throwing away... Right, we haven't talked about the Shield reunion on this show. The other time highlight was the Shield.
Well, yeah, so obviously Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose come out and they take on Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. And it was fairly entertaining. And then in the main event, it's Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. And then obviously they all get involved. And then there's like the Shield moment. And it's very strange because... 1 minute like on the same night they're the Shield, and then the other night they're just Roman Reigns on his own, and it's just
I felt a little bit like this watching the last 2 weeks SmackDown. The fact that when they came out the first week, they came out in the full gear, and then this week they didn't without the music, which I liked because it was much more like they're just coming out to help the situation. That works better for me. It does feel a little bit like they're early on half-assing it to check that they get the right response, to make sure, because I think the last time it just went so spectacularly badly with the injuries, with the mumps to Roman Reigns, everything else that happened, that it feels like they're just going, right, we want to do this big Shield push, we're just not quite ready to do it to 100% in case it goes wrong again.
And that's it. And when they ran in, Ambrose and Seth Rollins, they didn't have any music. And obviously, you know, in the end, they did the powerbomb through the table with Drew McIntyre going through the table. And then the Shield music hit. And then they did the, you know, they do the fist thing. And then so it ends the night with the Shield. And I mean, lets everyone go home and buy a T-shirt on the way out. And that was nice.
I feel like you're feeling quite cynical about this house show.
For some reason, like, the product was fine. It just didn't really do it for me. And I don't know. I still can't put my finger on it. I mean...
Which is funny, because the last couple of times I've been to a house show, I've enjoyed
it much better, haven't they?
More than I have Raw and SmackDown, because you've not had the breaks, you've not had the need for too much of the tertiary stuff, and it's been a lot more focused as a product. Just looking at TV from this week, I think from Raw, we mentioned the Shield stuff, but the only thing that really stood out to me from Raw was Kevin Owens. Great match with Seth Rollins. Mm. Properly backwards and forwards, super hot crowd, both guys really delivered. And then Owens quitting out at the end. I'm really intrigued to see where on earth they're going to go with this.
I thought that was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
He did it really well.
Because he's really good at his job.
Exactly. And he probably is a little bit frustrated with how he's being used. Let's face it, in reality.
Just being fed to Braun Strowman.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that what he needs is to be kept off TV till next year. Even the Royal Rumble.
Till next year. See, this thing, I can't imagine. He's such a great asset.
Mm.
You're talking about 5 months without him.
And I suppose without Sami Zayn as well for that time, it is tricky.
Do you go to Survivor Series maybe, have him come back as part of that?
Everyone's been comparing it to Dolph Ziggler, laying down his title and leaving and then coming back at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that seemed like it was going to be such an intriguing storyline. We spoke with Dolph Ziggler about that.
Yeah, and it was just a waste, wasn't it?
Yeah, an absolute and total waste. Such a great idea, and they completely went back on it.
And you can kind of tell that he felt the same, like he thought something good was going to come of it, and then he just felt like it was like, nah.
But so Kevin Owens is not an injury. There's not a.
So he wasn't there on Wednesday night. Maybe like he might legitimately have a holiday. Like I assume you know they've written Kurt Angle off for a little bit. Presumably he's going to have a holiday. I know everyone's saying he's training to have matches again, and that's great. But he's probably going to have a bit of a break. So yeah, I mean,
I hope that this is handled well.
Done well. Do it for more than a month.
Give us a proper return at a proper point. Maybe with Jericho coming back, they re-ally. No?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Just me. Damn it. Come on.
I would love it, but I don't think it's going to happen. No.
Well, you just made my list. Then SmackDown the next night. SmackDown actually had a lot more to it that I liked. Other than the Hardy-Orton match that was announced, Styles and Joe continued a fantastic build, and that, yeah, we'll get more into that as we get close to Hell in a Cell, but
Samoa Joe
bringing
AJ Styles' wife during SmackDown, which you'd think she probably would be watching, thinking her husband's like on live TV. No?
No. I think she was probably looking after the kids. She was probably, you know,
the kids, which idolise him, who'd probably want to watch him on telly.
Yeah, maybe there's that. Maybe there's that. But even so, I still love the whole Wendy angle. I love the whole Joe being a real, but it has to end with a title change. I'm just Styles is deservedly right up at the top of the PWI top 500, and is, despite the disappointing feud with Shinsuke, this has the potential to be what that feud wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which is going back into something great from his past and really doing something brilliant with it. And I believe in this. I genuinely believe this is going to be great, but I think even if it's lost and then Styles gains it back at Survivor Series or however they do it, there just needs to be something more. It can't just be the heel is the bad guy and goes after the Styles and makes a big deal of it. Mm. And then eventually he just he would start to become the new John Cena in that situation to me.
And the trouble is, the cynic in me thinks, well, the game's coming out soon. He won't lose it at Hell in a Cell. It probably will be he loses it at Survivor Series. That's the problem, because they want him to be the champion for the game release.
Mm.
That's the tricky thing. What about Charlotte and Becky?
Charlotte and Becky, loving the build for this. Why, like I say, why is not in Hell in a Cell? I don't understand. I thought her and Carmella actually had a surprisingly good match on SmackDown. Carmella, for the second time in a row, because I thought she was good at SummerSlam as well, working hard, better in ring. Mm. And I already like her character already, even though it's annoying as hell, but that's the point.
Yeah,
I think she is getting to a point where people, I reckon she's going to be one of those ones in, like, begrudgingly in 12 to 18 months time, people are going to be like, actually, she's getting pretty good.
Yeah,
but she's not there yet. And I'm not saying, I'm not being like, oh, look at me, I'm ahead of the curve on this, because I don't think she is there yet.
Yeah.
But you look at her versus, you look at her versus 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the one that stops liking her when she becomes mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
When everyone else does. Goes, oh, yeah, you're so like 2018.
What do you think of the word that came out at the end, the B word, that they use very sparingly? Roman Reigns used it recently, and then Becky used it.
I liked it.
Yeah?
It was an attempt to...
Bit of blue.
Actually send Becky... Oh, you say bitch on this podcast.
All
it's an attempt to send Becky... Like, there's a real problem that people just aren't going to boo her. They really want to push the idea of Becky as a heel.
Well, I read online that they're not. Apparently, someone, I can't remember who it was, it's one of the insiders that always gives these
classic
tips, says they're not booking her as
Wade
a...
Wade Keller or whoever.
Yeah, someone. They're not booking her as a heel. They're booking them both as people that have got an issue and neither of them are going to back down. And if you choose to boo her or cheer her, that's up to you.
But you know how that works.
Go
so you've got that going on.
Yeah.
And then... I think that goes all the way to Evolution. I think they maybe headline Evolution after something screwy happens at Hell in a Cell. You, on the other side, you take Sasha Banks and Bayley. This is fantasy booking.
I've missed this.
Corner. We've really got to get this. We've really got to get some kind of music for this. You take Sasha Banks and Bayley. You tell that story up to Evolution. You also have the two of them go head to head.
Yeah.
Evolution, because finally the relationship completely disintegrates.
Correct.
By the end of the show, they all hate each other, titles have changed hands, and then finally, all of the four horsewomen from UFC turn up, and then they build that to Mania.
And they have to reunite.
Yeah, and the story you tell is you use the storytellers, because no offense, that Shayna Baszler's got better and better through her NXT run. I think she's good in ring because she's brutal, and I think she's getting better on the mic. Ronda has been a superstar for a moment one, but I think we kind of almost expected that.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe not from an in-ring product perspective, but certainly from a...
Star quality.
Yeah, star quality, potential on the mic. Like, she just seems to have got it all the way. Then Jessamyn Duke made her in-ring debut at an NXT local event, an NXT live event recently, like an NXT house show.
Local.
Yeah,
NXT. It's like Tesco local.
it's like when ITV cuts to the local news
so,
at the
so
end
before
of the...
people work in Tesco Metro, they have to make their debut at Tesco local, is that right? And then it's a one stop after that.
And then you get to an express.
Yeah. In a garage.
we have not seen... And then Marina Shafir, we know, has been working at the Performance Centre as well. Yeah. So... they're not ready to be there quite yet, but come Survivor Series, you start to set the angle, come
yes,
Mania,
please.
Bang! That would be amazing.
Bang and the dirt is gone.
Fantasy
that
booking.
Takes us nicely to Evolution, actually.
We didn't mention the one thing.
Oh.
Mixed tag match, Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah!
I loved that Brie came out and beat The Miz up. Didn't beat Maurice up.
No.
Great. Just great.
I do like that. I'm looking forward to that match at Hell in a Cell. I think it's nice to have them back.
Yeah,
I'm a total fan of Total Divas.
I know,
Total Bellas,
so you really are.
Yeah, so like,
I've never watched any of it. I really, at some point, I will end up binging it all.
This is really boring. I stayed in. I had to live somewhere else. I had to live in Manchester for 6 months, and the woman I stayed with absolutely
good
loved it.
Judgment, buddy.
Yeah,
this
she
is
absolutely
really
loved.
Boring.
She loved Total Divas, so I just sat and watched it with her most nights.
Brilliant.
Now I'm a big fan.
Well done, mate.
Know all about it. Like Winston the dog, all of it. Josie at Evolution. There are rumours, and I don't think it's been booked yet, of Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey for the title.
Oh, I like that.
Do we like that?
I like it from a booking perspective because it looks really good. It's the woman who, even though we talk about the four that came up from NXT, she was really the one who people started to take seriously as a female wrestler in the ring, and she held the title for ages, and I think she divides opinion a little bit, but I think Ronda still does that even though she's won a lot of people over. Yeah, in theory, I really like it. I mean, we're literally going to get an NXT UK Women's Championship match. We already know who. Can we spoiler alert that? I don't know how to deal with that. So you're going to have the final of the Mae Young Classic, which looks like a barnstormer.
And if it happens.
Yep.
Because there's issues there, but we're not going to spoil it.
Yeah,
you can look online if you want to find out.
There's the NXT UK Women's Championship match. There'll be the NXT Women's Championship match, a SmackDown and a Raw's match, and then we know about Alexa Bliss, Trish Stratus. I think they're going to do something else, to some kind of battle royale, maybe another kind of, if Lita will come back and wrestle, maybe do Lita against someone.
Which match will James Ellsworth win?
Oh, God, don't even. No, never. Never, ever,
he's
ever.
Even there.
Never book James Ellsworth again for anything. And I mean that independently, WWE, anywhere. Just no. Just no. Never. Never again. No.
Not a fan then.
No, I quite like him, actually.
lovely guy.
Yeah, what a guy. I'm kind of on board with it.
All right. I think it could be good.
The PWI 500 came out in the last couple of days. Well, the top 10 did. We're going to know the 500 as and when, you know, either of us bother to pay for.
Can I guess the top three? I don't know it.
Go on.
So AJ Styles is number one.
AJ Styles is number two.
Oh, right. So he's in the top three. Right. Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega is number one.
I really want to say Will Ospreay.
No. Kazuchika Okada, who was number one previously.
Course, yes.
And Kenny Omega was. There's an element to these of kayfabe that they base it on, not just in-ring quality and match quality, but like if they've held a title for ages, they get bumped up. So the 10 from 10 to 1, The Miz, 10, same as last year, Tetsuya Naito at 12, Cody up at 8, down from 33, Roman Reigns at 7, down from 4, Braun Strowman at 6, up from 34, Seth Rollins at 5, Brock Lesnar at 4, Okada, Styles, Omega. The one that I think people won't be happy about is Lesnar as high as 4. Up from 25 as well.
I don't mind that, though.
Why? What's the justification? Like, everyone else on there has had barnstorming match after barnstorming match. There is nobody in that top 10 who I don't think has had a brilliant year in the last 12 months. Brock Lesnar, forget all the poor booking, forget all the not showing up on TV. If you just take the match quality from the last 12 months, it's just not there for me.
Okay, if you say that, maybe I do agree.
Last year's multi-man SummerSlam match was the last one of his, when he went out on the stretcher and came back in and won it.
Yeah.
That's the last match of his I really bought into, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but when you put the facts in front of me, fine. Who would you swap him with, Will?
Why can't we have an argument about it?
Who would you swap him with?
I don't know.
The winner of the junior heavyweight New Japan title?
So
man who won it in the last 12 months?
I wouldn't put Ospreay in the top 10 quite yet.
I just love Will Ospreay, right?
Clearly.
Chris Jericho, I mean, like...
Jericho deserves to be pretty high for the impact that he's had over
and how he's
New Japan over those matches.
Transitioned, that's the
one. Couple of the other ones that I have seen the rankings on, because Pete Dunne faced off with, this is a little bit of a minor spoiler, but you'll just have to deal with it. Pete Dunne faced off with Jordan Devlin for the title at the NXT UK tapings this past weekend at the Insomnia Gaming Festival in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
Pete Dunne was ranked at number 33. Pretty good, I think. Like, I have him, he'd be my personal top 10, but that's because we see him regularly and I think he's brilliant and everything else. But 33 overall, pretty good for, you know, a local champion
time.
And an indie guy. Tweeted, hey, at Jordan Devlin, _Devlin1, congrats on the number 453 ranking.
Wow, spoiler alert.
proper shade being cast by Pete Dunne. Absolutely loved it. Thought that was really funny on Twitter. Like I say, other than I completely agree with the rest of the top 10. I think The Miz should maybe be a bit higher.
Yeah.
Based on what he's done in the last year. But I just don't get Lesnar as high as 4. Just don't get it.
I'll let you have that one.
Lesnar is going to be the biggest dropper. I'll tell you that for nothing.
He is going to fall out of that faster than... Mankind off the Hell in a Cell roof. That's boring. I can't think of a better one. Faster than Jeff Hardy's probably going to do a Swanton Bomb off the top of Hell in a Cell and incapacitate himself for a number of years.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
Go on.
Because that got a bit weird. Let's talk progress and let's hear from Volta now. and then we'll talk about the actual show afterwards. So just to warn you with this Volta interview, it's a quite a wide-ranging interview. We talk about how he got into wrestling. We talk about who he loves currently in wrestling, who he likes working with, how he got to... If you really look at Walter's career, he's been wrestling since 2008. And yet since the start of 2017, pretty much when he started being a regular in Progress, and when he started, and when he joined the Battle of Los Angeles in PWG, he's had a ridiculously meteoric ascent over the last 18 to kind of 20 months. So we talk all about that. The very final question I ask him about is about the main event at Wembley. And I reveal who he faces in the main event at Wembley, because we knew at that point. That is a spoiler for what happens in Progress 75, because at Progress Chapter 75, you had Mark Haskins against Tyler Bate one-on-one to get in there. And if Will Ospreay managed to beat... No, sorry. If Jimmy Havoc managed to beat Will Ospreay,
yeah,
then Jimmy Havoc got added as a third member to make it a triple threat. So, about 16, 17 minutes into this interview... Turn it off or stop now and listen to it after Progress Chapter 75.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
Happy? Good. I've done the spoiler warnings. Here is Big Daddy Volta.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Honestly, incredibly excited to welcome to the show, and I'm going to reel off some things here, so don't worry if it gets a little bit much, but the first wrestler to ever hold the top titles in, I would say, arguably the three biggest truly independent companies in the world, in WXW and PWG, and now in Progress as well. Current title holder in two of those, also the OTT title holder now, the Defiant Internet title holder, and... He turned just 31 last week. Well, firstly, happy birthday.
Walter. Thank you very much.
Is it... I've got to ask, because we've heard ring announcers say it a lot of different ways. Walter or Volta? What do you prefer?
That's both fine. Walter, like, Walter is German, like spelling, and Walter is the English version, so whatever is fine. I'm good with both.
Now I feel the pressure to go with a Volta, but I'm, do you know what? I'm going to do it. Why not? We're back here at Camden for the last event before Wembley, and back in the building where last month you finally claimed the Progress title after, yeah, the 6-7 months of storytelling building up to that. Just, that was one of, for me, the best moments we've had in Progress for a long time. What was that like for you, finally claiming the title and getting that reaction that you got from the crowd?
It was good. Like, I'm happy that... When it comes to connection with the crowd, I'm nobody that goes into the ring and begs for a reaction, or I like openly do stuff to connect with them. And to get that reaction after winning the title finally is a Like, I take it as a appreciation of the work I put in over the last couple of months or years for progress. So it was a good moment, definitely, yeah.
It is amazing because we are talking, I mean, you've been wrestling for over a decade now since you're a teenager, but you really started regularly in progress at kind of beginning of 2017 after doing some events. Similar thing with PWG, and in less than 2 years, eventually you become the title holder in both of those. What do you put that kind of, that rapid ascent down to?
It's like, for me in general, like, I could have gone places earlier, but I didn't really want to because we started the wrestling school in Germany. I wanted to focus on that and more on WXW. But Progress was the place I always wanted to go in England because it looked exciting. And like Tommy End back then was still in WXW, would tell me that it's a good place, and Zach too. So it was always like, that was the place I wanted to go. So finally to like actually achieve things, like working with them is a good thing. And also PWG is the most surprising one because I was never a PWG fan. I didn't like it. It's too goofy, too phony. It's just, I like wrestling. I like the competition part of it. And then Bola happened. Of course, you do that because it's maybe the best exposure you can get in independent wrestling. And then I actually had a very good time and things went well. And then, yeah, was able to be there. World champion too, and I actually very enjoy it. So,
well, you mentioned, I mean, that opening weekend, the first appearances there, you mentioned Zach already, someone who you've been working with for over 10 years, but that was a five-star match and really propelled you. And I think back to, we saw you in New Orleans go up against Zach in just what was one of the best matches of the whole weekend, despite the fact that I think there were maybe three offensive moves in the entire 20-odd minutes. What's that relationship been like with you and Zach, and how did he bring you over to Progress, as it were?
It's like, he came in, like, I don't know how long, is it almost 10 years ago to WXW? And then finally when we worked together, we had like it's a similar idea about professional wrestling that we have, even though we do different things, but the basic idea we have is the same. And personally, we get along very well too, even though our careers like go separate ways. But yeah, it's like with some people, like you're gonna meet up with them, not meet up, but you're gonna meet them in the ring like every now and then after the years that goes over like years and years. Like Daisuke Sekimoto is the same. You wouldn't be in touch much, but you would just wrestle each other every few years, and then it's like clicks again. And I'm super happy that I could wrestle Zach more often in the recent months, and he's definitely like one of my favorite opponents.
I mean, it feels like he's as excited about your rise over the last couple of years as you are. Right? After New Orleans, we spoke to him and he said, you know, he's as excited as other people that they're going to get. He'd just come off the back of the Super Juniors win, arguably, you know, at the very peak of his career so far, and he said, you know, I'm just excited to make sure that Volta's getting showcased because I know what he can do, and it's great that that's getting out to a wider audience.
Yeah, he's a good guy. It's like, he doesn't believe his hype. Like, he doesn't believe in his own hype. I think that's something that's very important. If you walk out, like, oh, look what I just did. Nah, come on. That's nothing you should do. I think you should always be, because everything we achieve and what we do, it's nice, but it's like, can all be gone tomorrow? It's like, and also it's like in that wrestling bubble that gets bigger and bigger, luckily for all of us. But on the other hand, outside of it, when you're a real person, it doesn't mean anything. So you should enjoy what you're doing. You should enjoy when you achieve something, because we dedicate our lives to it. But at the other hand, it shouldn't change you as a person. And I think if you're somebody who works hard, but you never aggressively try to avoid other people's success or try to put them down, you're always supportive to other people, you will always be successful, you know. And I think Zach got that one. Like, he understands.
Sorry.
You just came that light up slightly. Sorry.
Yeah.
Every time you move forward, that's it.
That's fine. Cool. I think it's also interesting you mentioned Tommy. We sat down, if people aren't familiar, Aleister Black now in WWE, and we sat down with him at Download this year, and I find it fascinating, someone who came from the Netherlands where, you know, wrestling wasn't a huge deal and that he had to go out and find it himself. And how did you, as a big strapping lad from Austria, what was your kind of gateway into professional wrestling?
Oh, it's different, I think, because Austria had like a big wrestling tradition, because like in the 70s, 80s, 90s in Germany and Austria, there would be the big tournaments held. the way of running professional wrestling back then was like you would go to one city and be there for like 20 to 60 days, and like there would be event every day on the same place and it would be a tournament. So that's something. And in Vienna, where I come from, we would have like the one of the biggest, and my parents would always take me there. So a lot of people in Austria know about professional wrestling. Even like Otto Wanz, who is like the most famous Austrian wrestler of all time, would be maybe more known than like Hulk Hogan or The Undertaker, maybe, because he was always like in public, in the mainstream media, he was always present. So and that's different in the Netherlands, because in the Netherlands, it's not part of anything, any mainstream happening. So that's different then. So I found like a wrestling school. To find one was pretty easy, but there were not many shows happening. And but also in Germany, there were more shows happening, but not as much. So we kind of actually had to build it up our own with WXW. That's actually what we tried to do there over the years. That's why I was focusing on it. And I feel more comfortable now going outside of it and do other stuff, because yeah, we built something and now other people can like benefit from that. And I can make the next step for me, more or less. But still there and still helping out.
How proud are you then that you see that West Side Extreme now does as well as it does internationally, that people travel over from here and all across Europe to go to, you know, the big shows, the big tournament every year, and that guys like yourself, I mean, to be Thatcher's here today and at Wembley as well, we've seen Marcel at WWE, Ilya's doing Wembley as well, you know, guys coming out of that system and now getting their chance all over the world.
Oh, I mean, it was just a matter of time somehow, I think, because we got some more talented people that could easily hang with the best here. Because the thing is just like, that's the thing in wrestling that might be not fair, because sometimes it's not about skill, it's about who puts in a word for you or where you get presented. And WXW now is a platform for young talent to showcase themselves, but it wasn't 3 years ago, maybe, or 4 years, we had to build it to that platform. So I think it's going to be more easy for the new generation that's coming up than it was like for me or for Ilya or Tommy back then to actually make the step out of it. And yeah, I'm very proud of how it works now, because I was live, like I saw it live, and there was part of it, how much work gets put in there. It's crazy.
For you, I mean, it's interesting you talked about kind of getting those first opportunities, because actually European style wrestling tend to be smaller guys. Like you might look at something like the WWE product and see these guys who are 7 foot and built, but someone who is 6'4", 300 plus pounds, you're a big guy for European wrestling. So how did you learn to kind of not just wrestle in that style, but when I talk about that Zack Sabre Jr. match from New Orleans, if people haven't seen it, they should go and watch it. It's so physical, and it is basically just chops, but the story told through that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
When it could sound on paper like that would be boring. Yeah. So how did you kind of learn how to be the big guy in wrestling?
The thing is, like, Austria, funny, it's a funny thing, Austria actually always had bigger wrestlers. It's funny. Like, most of the popular Austrian guys were not small wrestlers. It was more like the British people, I would think. The British guys would be more cruiserweights. But on the other hand, there were not many top talent wrestlers from Austria, just a few over the decades. And my coach, when I started, already taught me how to be like a bigger guy and how I should protect it. And also when I went to Japan for training, I would get taught that way, more traditional, more basic. And then I think that's at the end, that's what made me like stand out from it, because a lot of the other big guys nowadays, they just ignore the size and they want to prove that they can do a leapfrog and all that stuff, and I'm not interested in it. I want to be...
We're not going to see any suicide dives or anything at Wembley then.
I want to portray an authentic competition to people that they can look at and automatically understand what it's about.
I think that's one of the reasons why independent wrestling has had this boon of the last, certainly you said 3 or 4 years, because it feels like a more authentic product now. You go to a night like, you come here to Camden and you watch Progress, so you go to West Side Extreme, you go to the little hall where they do PWG, and it feels like a fight night. It doesn't feel like necessarily the pantomime of before, and you can still have those elements, but it feels real.
I mean, the thing is, like, now it's the easiest we ever had it, Because, let's say, 30 years ago, everybody was like, oh, kayfabe, wrestling is real. We're going to tell the people that wrestling is a real fight. And people were already like, I'm not sure. Then we came, like, in the late 2000s or, like, early 2000s. It was that weird, okay, everybody knew it's not a real fight, but we still got to act like. And now we have the thing where professional wrestling is open about that wrestling is not a real combat sport, and the fans know it, but they come and they're ready to dive into the, like, they dive into the pool of, like, suspense of disbelief. That's the English saying. They're ready to believe it for 3 hours or 4 hours, however long the show goes. And that's the easiest we ever have it. Like, people, like, fans are super appreciative now, and they are way more intelligent, I would think, than way more educated when it comes to professional wrestling than it was like a few years ago, because they understand details we do and stuff like that.
There's no funnier question as a wrestling fan to get than, do you realize it's fake, right? Because the best response to that is to just go, really?
Is it?
Because people don't know how to react to that.
Yeah, that's not news anymore. That's weird. How can people still believe that? I don't know.
How many people have asked you to chop them in the past?
Oh, every show I get asked, but I never do it. I don't do it. I think it's weird, though. It's goofy.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It just makes me... We saw it. We were doing some press at the Super Bowl, and there were some MMA guys, and they're like, radio presenters asking to, like, punch them in the arm and stuff.
I'm thinking,
you understand that person could literally kill you if they wanted to. Like, this is... It just seems so odd to me, but...
Yeah, and it's not even about that. I think as a wrestler, you shouldn't do it. They're not trained, so you shouldn't do it to them. That's how easy it is. And even though, like we just said, everybody knows professional wrestling is not a... It's not a real combat sport, so everything we do, we're not going to hurt each other. So sometimes you don't want to... Some things should stay in the inner circles, and some things you can spread, but some things you shouldn't show or tell anybody.
Before we get on to Wembley, I want to ask about a few things. Now that you've got this platform, that you've got some of the recent matches you've had, particularly... Tomohiro Ishii recently with Rev Pro. That must have been pretty cool to get into a ring with him and do it in front of such a big crowd at the point you are at your career now.
Yeah, I knew him. It's funny because I knew him already, like, it must be 10 years ago when I went to Japan first time. I trained at Riki Choshu's dojo and he was there too, so I met him back then, and now 10 years later we wrestled each other. So that was a pretty cool thing, and he's one of the guys I really like. When I watch New Japan stuff, I would watch stuff of him. So that was a cool experience, definitely.
And what about Will Ospreay this past weekend? We haven't got to see it yet because we weren't there. But, I mean, talk about a clash of styles, but that must have been pretty cool considering where he is now as well.
No, I really enjoyed it because he was one of the guys I always wanted to be in the ring with, and now it finally happened, and it went as well as I expected, I would think. So he might be like the talent of the last 100 years, maybe. It's crazy. Like, he's so talented in every aspect of our sport. So, yeah, I really appreciate it.
You've seen what he's done in New Japan. We talked about Zach as well, and what guys are doing. You've been in a New Japan ring here in the UK. You've been out to Japan and wrestled as well. Has there been any thought about potentially looking at a New Japan run, a Ring of Honor run, one of those kind of quote-unquote bigger worldwide companies?
Yeah, I mean... As a wrestler, you always look for opportunity. Like, it doesn't, like, wrestlers never, like, people might think that, but wrestlers never, very rarely choose, like, I want to go there. Usually it's the offer they get, they take. But I don't think about that stuff too much. Whatever will happen in the future, I cannot think about things that might happen later. I just do my thing step by step, and I let things come to me.
There have been rumors of it. Has there been any contact with WWE at all at this point?
Well, like, back then, I remember it was months ago, there were the rumors. And, yeah, of course, I spoke to them, or they spoke to me, because I'm here in the Fight Progress show. They work with them. So it's nothing. It's like, maybe 5 years ago, it was something, oh, WWE, have they spoken to you? It's something special. But now it's like, they opened up so much, and right now you know so many people there. Like, I remember, like, years ago it was something like, oh, those, it's a different world, but now they open up so much. And when I look at NXT now, like, how many people you already met like wrestled there now.
And worked with.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the guys they've just been kind of hoovering up recently. Keith Lee, who we've seen you have some epic bouts with. Matt Riddle, who we obviously saw you here with the Atlas Championship with. I mean, those guys are really going to have an opportunity to make a massive impact there.
So it's crazy. It's very open. So, yeah, whatever will happen in the future, like, we'll see. I'm not stressing myself out. I just do what I do best and we'll see what happens. I'm very relaxed about it.
What are your thoughts on those guys getting that kind of opportunity? Because people seem to think that if you go there, then they're going to, you know, there's going to be a creative issue or that they're going to. But I feel like guys like Matt, guys like Keith, that they are going to grab that absolutely by the throat. I can't wait to see them in action in an NXT ring, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, that's most of the times when some fans think like, nah, it's got to be bad for them and stuff like that. It's just, seriously, guys, you got no clue what you're talking about. Because indie wrestling is the hardest part, I think, about the professional wrestling industry. It's like, it's not like when we go on a 3 or 4 day weekend, it's for different companies. It's not like that some travel agent rents us a bus and we just go from A to B. No, everybody books the travel individually. So it's always going to, it's never going to fit to each other like perfectly. It's very rare. So the travel is like, it's hard. And indie wrestling doesn't happen at the top notch places many times. Sometimes it's not so good venues, dirty venues, no showers, stuff like that, very little sleep because the flights are so early, stuff like that. It's rough. It's real hard. Like when I do a US weekend, and it's usually I wrestle on both coasts on one weekend, and then I come home and need like a week to recover almost because it's hard. And also like those guys like Keith and Matthew, they came here so many times. They exactly know how it is, and what people forget is like with WWE, it's a good employer. Like you have a good job, they take good care of you. Also, like especially in the States, like medical is a big issue because like not everybody has insurance. They take care of that. They make sure you everything is taken care of, and that's something people forget, and it's. Also, like those are guys have family. They gotta see what they're gonna do over the next year. It's not just like they're just teenagers and having fun. And at the end of the day, those aspects I just named might be more important than which move they can do or can't do. Which is like in the eye of the fan. I understand why they like it, but come on, like I can understand everybody who makes that decision because what we do now, like in indie wrestling, it's fun for a while, but at some point. Your body and your mind is going to go crazy.
So, I mean, you said it there. Not every venue you get to work in indie wrestling is tipped.
No, no.
But in kind of 4 or 5 weeks' time, you're getting to work in pretty much one of the most iconic venues in the world. Biggest UK show, one of the biggest European shows.
It's true.
For 30 years. How excited are you about Wembley?
Oh, very much. Very much. But talking about the venue upgrade, like, I got to say, like, in England and Germany, it's much difference, like big difference to US because it's actually good here. People run proper venues, so we're taken care of usually good most of the time.
I'll let Glenn and those guys know that you've picked that up.
They know. I'm very open to them. No. So no, that's also just in the eye of the fans, so they don't think it's just like in England or Europe. It's just we just wrestle in shitty places and we're all the poor. It's not like that. I think European indies are at the moment actually quite better than US indies. If we talk about Wembley, yeah, it's great because in general, like, it's crazy how many opportunities there are for professional wrestling promoters in England, like for a country that small, actually, like to have like such a big scene or such a big community about wrestling that is that passion. It's crazy, like, because I know in Germany it's hard. We can't put somebody on a poster, like some name, and sell out. It doesn't work like that because it's not people. They're not that many wrestling fans. It's crazy here. So everybody should be aware of the fact that it's really it's not the common thing in every country. It's a real special thing. And I think a show like Wembley, if you see where they started with like selling out here all the time, and then go to Alexandria Palace, and it's just like, and they filled that up too, and then it's just like Wembley, it's just like, it makes sense that they make the next step, because, yeah, British wrestling is back, like it was super hot like decades ago, and now it's, different time and different people in charge, and it's crazy. It's super exciting to be around. And yeah, Wembley, like for me, it's special because it's the biggest show in British wrestling as well. And I'm the guy headlining as the champion, and I'm not British. So that's kind of a pretty cool thing to be the one who's like, not from here, but I'm the one who's able to step up and headline the show. Is a pretty cool thing.
So just the last two from me. One will be on that match, but just the other thing I think that's important about the way indie wrestling has changed is the storytelling to get there. Because I mentioned it, whether it's you dropping the Atlas Championship at Super Strong Style, all the stuff with Trav to get there. I mentioned the reaction from the crowd a month ago. This isn't just, well, Walter's really over with the crowd here, yeah, so let's put the title on him and put him in a match. It feels like this has really been built in a way that people think that if it's not on TV, you don't get those stories. And really, now you do get those stories.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what I just mentioned, but because also people are open to invest themselves in it. So that makes it easier for the performers as well, or for the people who write the stories. So, yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's a big aspect now, because independent shows used to be just matches, and now everybody, like every company, you can follow up with storylines. You can look at it and you can follow up over the shows. There's things happening. It's not just matches. And I think that's what makes it special, definitely. And yeah, going into Wembley, we have a lot of exciting stuff, I think.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not just the title match, but it's also like you have Doug Williams and Trent Seven, and you have Doug as maybe like, he was the one who like, he was the guy who like, how do you call it, dropped the first stone, and like he started it, because he was the one who stood out British wrestling when not much was going on, and he was the one who picked it up. And I remember Doug, he would come to WXW many times, and he would always try to, like, instead of flying, he would jump in a car so he can bring more British guys, more young talent. He was always super supportive. He's a good example also of, you like, you will always be successful if you care about other people's success too, because he worked his ass off for the opportunity everybody else has now. He's like, he's a legend in England, and that's a very special match, I think. And also having Ilya come in to face Pete, and both of the guys, they're both like, I would say, one of the guys I enjoy wrestling most, and that's super exciting. That's, I think, having Ilya come here out of nowhere was a special moment for the fans too. And yeah,
I'm imagining you back in Gorilla watching the whole thing with the guys, just like, because it's going to be, honestly, it's going to be incredible. If people haven't got tickets, there are still some available for it, and we'll post a link on Twitter, etc. And so finally, it is going to be, no worries, man, we now know it's going to be Tyler Bate you're going up against at Wembley.
Yeah.
And what he represents, I mean, 21 years old is ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah.
But what he represents for this new wave of British wrestling, I think that couldn't have ended up with the better matchup. If you know, once Pete's taken out of the picture and stuff like that, this was absolutely ideal, certainly from my perspective.
Yeah, I think so too. Because Tyler, like, I'm a big fan of his work, of what he does. He's a great athlete. And like you say, he's just 21 years old. It's crazy. I'm 31, I'm 10 years old. It's really, it's crazy. And we never had a singles match before too. We were involved in some tag stuff like that, but never had a singles match. So I'm very excited, and I'm more than ready to put on a performance that fits the occasion.
That ring camp for British Strong Style match from probably about a year and a half here at Camden is one of my favourite matches from the last couple of years, certainly seeing it live. So I'm excited to see what you do in singles. Can't wait for it.
Thank you, sir.
Volta, really appreciate your time, and good luck for Wembley.
Thank you very much.
I really loved Walter. I thought he was fantastic, and would definitely look to get him on the show again in the future. There are still tickets available for Progress at Wembley, and I will tell you for nothing, that show, Chapter 75, set it up beautifully for me, not only because of the quality of the matches, which actually set up the matches for the next show, but there was some really good other stuff in there with the tag team Thunder Bastard as well. Honestly, I had a great time at that show on Monday. And we're back into spoiler territory, people.
Big spoiler here.
Big old spoilers.
The 2 out of 3 falls match, obviously, was one of the best matches I've seen in person, because it was brutal. There was a big story in it. There was the threat of someone doing someone over. Am I just talking about it normally?
Yeah.
We spoil alert. There's a threat of the referee, Robbo. potentially
Paul
working,
Robinson coming back alone.
Working with Will Ospreay at one point.
Very early on,
and
yeah.
And Will Ospreay thinks he's going to help him out, doesn't. And then it all kicks off. Roberts, the referee, goes through a table thanks to Jimmy Havoc.
Paz went through a table thanks to Will Ospreay.
Jim
Robbo
Smallman
went through a table.
Jim Smallman gets in the ring, has to referee for a little bit, obviously Progress co-owner, and it was really good. And how on earth Will Ospreay thought he was going to wrestle the next day at Fight Club Pro, I have literally no idea. He ended up not. He sat out of it. But he did wrestle 2 days later, which I think he admitted. My mate Jason was there. Big up Jason. And he had a chat with him, and he's basically, Will Ospreay was like, yeah, I don't know how I'm wrestling today. I shouldn't be.
They went for 45 minutes. And yeah, in any 45-minute long match, you have kind of peaks and troughs. And I think there was a section of this match, and again, you've just got to, I don't want to ruin any of the high spots. There was a section of this match where it felt like they were setting up some big spots for later. And so there were some storytelling elements to that that were really good, but it just kind of, it slowed down the pace of the match a little bit. Again, when you're working 45 minutes, though, you maybe need those little time. Slow down sections. But there was maybe a 10-minute bit in the middle where there wasn't enough actual wrestling for me, I think is the point.
Okay.
But for the majority of it, I was completely gripped. The story was brilliant. The back and forth between the two of them. Watching Jimmy getting slowly and slowly more brutal as the match went on. But then when he got knocked back, then Ospreay actually fighting back and matching his brutality. The screwy finish didn't annoy me at all, and it set up Wembley brilliantly. Mm. I just, honestly, it was a masterclass in what Progress has done so much better than almost any other, certainly independent, probably UK specifically, a promotion in telling those longer term stories. And something, yes, they do really well now, and you can see, I think, their work with the WWE coming into it a little bit, but actually going back to this story being told of so long ago, and yes, in theory, the two came out afterwards as if that was the end of this story. I'd be amazed if we never see another match between these two in the future. But it was everything I wanted it to be, apart from the fact that I'd love to have seen it at Wembley. They managed the fact they had to change so beautifully, and it was fantastic. It was great.
Tiny little thing for me. You know, when there's thumbtacks down, a referee will normally, there's always a baking tray. I don't know why there's always a baking tray, but there's thumbtacks. And normally the referee will start doing the count on the baking tray so they don't hit their fingers. Paul Robinson didn't care. No baking tray there. And smacking his hand down on thumbtacks. I was like, what are you doing?
Ended up having to remove his glove because it got all torn up. Yeah,
torn up by it. Absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, incredible.
Elsewhere, we had two Thunder Bastard Tag Team Series matches. There's Grizzled Young Veterans against Mills and Mayhew. Good backwards. Like, Mills and Mayhew, I love their selling, and I love the fact that they play the underdog. I think the way they're going to do this, because they're going to have to go in first to the Thunderbuster because they've not beaten anyone, is that they'll then surprise eliminate your team, because it's been building over the months, and I think that would be really a great moment for them at Wembley in front of that crowd. We had the Progress Women's Championship number one contender four-way scramble. That had something to do with five-way scramble even. That maybe had something to do with the reason why, you know, other matches we've talked about.
Yeah.
You can look online if you want to know what we're talking about.
Either way, Millie McKenzie versus Ginny, right?
Yeah.
At Wembley. Although, it may be a three-way.
I'm excited for that. Millie McKenzie.
Could be a three-way, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think they might add a third person to it if that person is cleared. But even so, Millie McKenzie against Ginny, great technical skills on display, great characters on display.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews coming out, and that was, those first two matches were good and got me kind of warmed up. The Mark Andrews Eddie Dennis segment, where Eddie Dennis said, "You're a user, Mark. You've been using me for years. You've been using me to. You've been using this company to get over your crappy little band." And it felt like that perfect promo mix of just the little bit of personal, of just the little bit of kayfabe in there with the little
like the
bit
Miz
of set
and John Cena.
With yeah, exactly. It's the great mix between a shoot and kayfabe. They had some great actual physical moments between the two of them as well. Weirdly, I went back and watched, I was on the plane back from New York, and
darling,
my sweetie darling, my screen wasn't working. And I had, from when I'd been on a trip ages ago, I had a couple of progress shows which I'd ripped off the online service.
So you had paid for
them? I pay for the online. I am a paid subscriber.
Sure.
I wanted to make sure I could watch them offline, so I used a video editor and took them off so I could watch them. Realised I still had these on my laptop, and I went back and I actually watched The Thunder Bastard from chapter 64, which was the last one that Eddie fought in before... We already knew he was going out for surgery, and the whole point was... He was going into that match knowing that if he won it, he'd get a title shot when he came back.
Yeah.
And also knowing that Mark Andrews was going to be in that match. There was a great story told with him. Mark Andrews came out to the ring, but TK Cooper, as part of his heel turn, actually got Eddie out. And then they had a whole tete-a-tete afterwards. And it was just really, really brilliant. And it just reminded me, again, this match is a year in the making. The storytelling's been brilliant the whole way. And it's been more than that, really. And that got me really excited. Yeah, the Thunder Bastard Tag Team Series match with Chris Brooks and Timothy Thatcher against Aussie Open.
That was really good.
Aussie Open have become absolute superstars to me in the last six to 8 months. And Timothy Thatcher is just brilliant. That was, again... And then you got into the second half. And we talked about the Jimmy Havoc match. But you also had Tyler Bay against Mark Haskins, which, for me, is the best straight-up singles match I've watched in a UK indie show in 6 months.
Yeah, you
at least.
That, didn't you?
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Mark Haskins was also great in the Ring of Honor main event against Jay Lethal.
You told him that backstage, didn't you?
I told him that, and he seemed genuinely happy that I told him.
Yeah, I turned into a Mark Haskins Mark overnight, because he is brilliant anyway,
Mark.
But because he was absolutely lovely. It was weird going backstage at Progress.
Oh, it is.
I don't want to like ruin any of the mystique or anything.
No, of course.
But Travis Banks, still out with his shoulder injury, was back there, because, you know, his mates
hanging
are there
around
and stuff, and he's hanging out. And he came and had a chat to us, because we both interviewed him separately.
Yeah.
I nearly shook his bad hand vigorously again, forgetting about the shoulder. He told us he's hoping to be back for Wembley.
Mm.
He'd make a great final match for Matt Riddle.
He would.
Now that Matt Riddle's making his final indie performance before joining WWE full-time.
And it's still technically someone who signed with WWE, isn't it? So,
but then so would the loser of that Haskins-Tyler Bate match. Oh, I'm excited.
As would Keith Lee, but that's a fantasy booking.
that's the most fantasy of all fantasy
bookings.
As
would Marty Scurll.
Well, that's... Yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't think the WWE would let anyone from Bullet Club wrestle him.
Do you not? Do you think they have that? I'm a guess. Maybe they do have that much sway.
He's signed on, I think. He's probably... Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Either way, if anyone knows Matt, and he's told you after a few too many... whatever he does in his spare time.
We should definitely try and get Matt Riddle on for around the September show.
All right, we'll try.
That's going to be our one big aim, even if it doesn't happen. What else did we... We wanted to cover the Fight Club Pro stuff this week.
There's been loads going on. The longest podcast in the world. Fight Club Pro has done 4 days in a row. They've done 3 days in Shepherd's Bush and 1 day in Wolverhampton, which is tonight. And it's a case of showcasing a lot of the talent that they train, which is really, really cool. You know, the usual suspects have been there. Obviously, Chris Brooks has been there every night. Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Minnie McKenzie. Loads of cool stuff. The main thing that my insider, my mate Jason, has been telling me is that chandeliers were smashed on two different occasions, once with shoes and once with possibly a head or an arm, which I don't know, that's quite an old building, so I'd imagine those chandeliers are pretty expensive.
That's
almost as precarious as that one show we went to watch where we always talk about, where they nearly pulled down the entire lighting rig because the belt was attached to it. Good one.
Terrifying.
Guys,
that was Lucha Forever.
Get off, mate.
I'll be waiting.
Yeah, it just looks like it's been a really fun sort of week. Unfortunately, we've kind of just been too much, we've been wrestled out. Project London is looked pretty good, and obviously tonight is the sort of the final of...
I'd have been all over Project London if I was in the country, but sadly I wasn't.
How many times do you want to tell everyone you were out of the country? It's such a show off. Tonight, Friday night is the final night of that in Wolverhampton, which looks like it's going to be pretty decent. And it's really nice to see the behind the scenes stuff as well. They've had people like Isla Dawn and Ginny training people backstage and doing seminars, and Jordan Devlin. So it's a really sort of good thing. It's a really positive thing that these guys have been running.
Right. We're already at the hour mark.
Next week.
But
Rev Pro have got it all going on.
Rev Pro have got it all going on next week.
So tell us more. This has slipped past me that Rev Pro have signed a deal to do TV tapings now. and is it Free Sports? And like, so they're doing two tapings next week in York Hall, September the 5th and 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see much about it at the moment. I know Zack Sabre Jr. is there on the 6th.
The Rev Pro website is always a little bit difficult because it has all the details of the shows, but you can never find any of the lineups on there. Like when we're going on to look and try and find out more information, they don't give you a huge amount. So I've got a couple of matches. We're going to have Kushida against Zack Sabre Jr.
Yep.
Should be banged. Chris Brooks against Jushin Thunder Liger. So they're bringing over quite a bit of that New Japan talent as well to get involved.
Ring Camp for there.
Ring Camp against that. CCK. Is that what's happening? On one of the nights?
Except it's not CCK, because old Thingy Bob is still injured. So I'm not entirely sure who's standing in for him. But yeah, that's happening.
Are they gonna bring, I think they'll bring back Jonathan Gresham again. That's what they did. Obviously, it's been Timothy Thatcher in Progress, but Jonathan Gresham did
actually,
it out in the Progress shows
in
the US, and he was the original CCK member. Yes, that is Jonathan Gresham. John's just turned around and pointed at me to make sure I was fully sure that that's who it was.
But then Repro were going on to their Manchester. They got two nights in Manchester. They're doing Leamington on the Saturday, which has got Will Ospreay.
Oh.
And like, yeah, so the Repro have got it all going on. So if you're really stuck for some wrestling and you live anywhere in the Midlands, the North, or London, anywhere around there, check it out. There's going to be a show that you can go to. It looks like there's tickets available for all of them. That would be my recommendation for watching some wrestling next week.
We will go back to the free matches of the week as well.
Yeah. I think we've just gone a bit too long today, haven't we?
And we still haven't previewed All In.
Let's do it then.
I'm not going to do an in-depth preview for All In, and I'm going to tell you for why.
Go on. I think Will's about to rant, so I'm just going to sit back.
I'm not going to rant. And I completely buy into the idea behind it, and I completely buy in to the Young Bucks and Cody. I think they've done brilliant work over the last year. The Young Bucks, since they've started working more psychology into their matches and become less, they had that reputation for just being, you know, spot guys and for not actually working the psychology. So much so that when, I think it was Nick once worked a knee injury in a match, people were convinced he had to be legitimately injured because the Young Bucks have done so little in-ring psychology in their past that there's
true.
No way that they could possibly sell. And I do think that the in-ring product is great, and I'm sure that if you're there and if you watch it, there's going to be loads of exciting stuff to it. I just can't quite get myself as pumped for it. I look at the card and I think, if I was going, I'd be insanely excited. Kenny Omega against Pentagon Jr. looks amazing. The Golden Elite doing Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi against Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, who is having an amazing time at the moment, and Bandido, who is currently one half of the Progress World Tag Champions after their US tour, and is someone that they basically needed another high flyer.
Yeah.
Found him on YouTube. Haven't even met the guy.
That's mad,
but they're so convinced of how brilliant his work's going to be. I love
imagine
the idea.
Imagine he's like that player that they said, who was it they signed? George Weah's cousin. what's his name?
I love the idea of Cody Rhodes potentially winning the NWA, bringing back that Rhodes legacy to the NWA.
Yeah.
The Okada Skrull match.
Yeah, that's the one I've got. I've got a proper chubby over.
That is a serious full chub match.
And Hangman Page and Joey Janela.
And Christopher Daniels. And there's a great women's four-way. And I love the over-the-budget battle royale. It's just funny. It's just a great idea. And there's loads of really good people in it. Plus, they get to go and face Jay Lethal later that night. Look, everything there sounds amazing.
And that's a potential for where someone might come in as a surprise. A lot of people online, after he got released this week, maybe saying Neville could. I imagine he's got a 90-day thing that he can't wrestle for them. But
do you think it's just because I don't watch Being the Elite? I just, there's the stories around it. I mean, Flip Gordon will come in that match as well, obviously. But the stories around it just haven't quite bought into it. I don't know. I feel like when it gets to the night itself, I'm going to watch it and be like, wow, this has blown me away. But 2 days out, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, it's All In this weekend. I kind of forgot until 2-3 days ago.
Do you remember all that hype about CM Punk as well? That's kind of gone.
But it feels like the event itself, what it means is actually more important than the in-ring product at the moment. And I just kind of, I'm like, it's going to be important, but is it going to be great?
Yeah.
Is what I'm intrigued about.
I get that.
More intrigued than excited. That's where I am right now.
I think we'll watch it and we'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much available on what seems like any streaming service. It's on Fight TV. It's on Honor Club. I think it's on New Japan.
We will do a big old breakdown of it. We will properly talk about it next week and we'll get into it and we'll talk about how great it was, I'm sure. Just right now, lacking the enthusiasm. I'm sorry.
And that's fine. And like, if when you're watching it, feel free just to tweet us, because obviously we'll share your thoughts as well. At Pro Wrestle Show.
100%.
Yeah.
John, any final thoughts?
I don't have any final thoughts.
Oh.
Well, I think I've said everything I wanted to say.
Good.
Yeah, it's all good.
In which case, thank you so much for listening. Tweet us.
At Pro Wrestle Show.
Thank you, mate. We're also on Instagram at the same thing.
At Pro Wrestle Show.
Thank you, mate. Just keep getting involved on Twitter. Let us know what you think about All In. We'll tweet through it and we will be all in on All In by the time it starts.
And you've obviously heard Walter. You will see some video clips of that. So the best moments from that interview you'll be able to see and share online. So you can see what a lovely man he is in person as well.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.